is going on out there, everybody, and thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale, and of course, the banana to my peel. Oh, this fellow with the waxed mustache, Mr. Ned Flanders, sitting beside me. Ned, how you doing?
I'm diddly doing fine. How's everybody out there? Yes, sir. Got my mustache waxed.
It looks good.
Good to go. I know you've been telling me about it, so I decided to grow it back.
I like it.
And, well, we're having stuff created that kind of goes off of what we look like.
Yep.
So I decided I was going to do something a little different so it'd stand out.
Yeah. Well, it's working.
So, yeah, it's growing
in,
right?
I'm digging it. Yeah.
I can't grow hair on my head. But I can grow it on my mustache, and I can grow it in my ears. Well, oh. I guess both those parts are on my head technically, but you know what I mean.
Yeah,
on the top of my head, I can't grow hair. I mean, I can grow it in my ear. It's like super fast. I can trim all that out, and like within like wow. 4 days Man. Later, it's there.
I'm we're
like,
so old.
How does that happen?
I know where all my hair went. All of my hair slid off my head and is on my back. That's
you
where
like
it's
George
at.
The Animal Steel.
Dude, it looks
there.
Terrible. Yes, it's terrible. That's what happens when you get old, folks.
That is terrible.
That's what happens.
But I hope everybody out there is not having a terrible week. I hope everybody's doing good. We're yeah. doing good. I know your wife just had a surgery.
Yeah. Yep.
Nothing major. Her. Not like
no heart surgery.
Something on her heel.
Something
right?
on her heel. Yeah, and had to get that taken care of. So yeah, she's wiped out for a little while.
So you're going to be waiting on her, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You're going to be making dinner and bringing her on food trays. And
sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
She won't go for that. I usually cook all the time anyway, like you do, just because I love to cook. But yeah. Yeah, she won't go for that stuff. She's one of those, she's a hard-headed Southern woman, right? What am I going to tell her? Nothing. So I just have to, yes, ma'am, whatever she wants. Yep, you got it. That's how it goes.
I'm actually,
can't talk any sense into her.
Speaking of cooking, I'm in the market for a new charcoal grill, and I don't know which way to go. My other one pretty
you
much
know
crapped out. And
which one I say, but don't listen to me.
Well, what is the one you say?
What's the heavy gauge? The one that we looked at.
Oh, the one that's like a billet aluminum?
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing's pretty nice.
Or I do like the Kamado Joe.
Oh, those are nice, yeah. See, yeah. I've never cooked with one of those, so I don't have any experience, but I'm willing to try. I mean, I've got all kinds of gadgets.
Now, when you cook, do you cook deer?
Yeah.
You ever cook deer on your charcoal grill?
Absolutely.
You know what you don't cook?
What?
Not deer, folks. I got another one.
Oh.
I got another one.
Let's hear it.
Okay, you ready?
Sure.
Now get a load of this bizarre not deer encountered in eastern Kentucky. I live in rural eastern Kentucky, one of those small towns surrounded by coal factories, mines, and farmland. I've lived in and around this town my whole life, so I know the area pretty well. At one point, I lived in a neighboring county with a population of about 1,000. Same family, there are some family there, including a family cemetery. And the story takes place there. So I had a rough couple days. I finally got a job last month, and now I have to wait for a blood screen result before I can go back because of a sinus infection and with barely any money saved up. So to relieve the stress, I drive. I know the back roads, the main roads, the twists, the turns. I can blast my music and just chill out when nobody else is around and out and about. So I drove the half hour to the county over, turned around in the gas station parking lot, there's only one, and waited at the light, also only one. The light takes a minute, and I know this, so I was just hanging out. Cops get bored around here, so I didn't want to run it. I started to feel weird as soon as I stopped. Not like the being watched feeling, but like electricity, almost. That's the only way I can think to explain it. Just like the hair on my arms stood up, and I couldn't figure out why. So I start looking around for signs of rain, but the sky is clear, and that's when I saw it. In my rearview mirror, I saw a deer. Well, from what I could see, was a doe standing alone in the middle of the road. It was far enough back that I couldn't see any features or anything, but close enough that I could see the silhouette, and I've seen deer plenty of times. I thought it was weird the doe was alone, so I watched for a second. I assumed the roaming partners were in the trees, and the thing turns and starts walking towards my car. Again, weird because my car's a clunker and my music's loud enough I could feel the bass with the windows rolled down, so it wasn't exactly quiet. The light's gonna change in a minute, so whatever, I'm just paranoid. The feeling starts weighing down on me, the air feels super thick, and I start to panic. I look up at the deer again, and it's walking on its back legs. Like, not upright completely, but enough for me to notice, like I caught it in mid-stand. It's just walking towards my car. Its front hooves had to be like 4 or 5 inches off the ground. At this point, the light changes, and I floor it. I turn on my high beams, went around about 30 over the limit for most of the way home. It all happened so fast, and I can't stop thinking about it. I knew about the not deer, but I've never seen one in person. I know nothing about them or how to ward them off, just that they look like deer but aren't. I honestly don't know if I want advice or somewhere to dump this, but I can't get its image out of my head. I've seen plenty of unexplained things around here, and I've dealt with this kind of thing what feels like my whole life. Yay.
Man.
What is creepier? Is it creepier if it was walking on its back legs alone, or is it creepier that it's just almost near dragging its legs, but it's like 4 inches off the ground as it's coming towards you? Because to me, that's creepier.
Dude,
nothing can hold a plank angle and just walk like that.
It's super creepy. And one way to he talks about it, he doesn't know how to ward them away. I would try a Daniel's Defense Mark 18. Look it up, folks. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't know, man.
That'll get it done every time.
I swear to God, I will give up deer hunting if I ever see one walk, stand up and start walking around and be like, that's it, I'm done.
Yeah, I don't even know how I would react. I don't know if I would panic or if it would be like total and utter shock. Like, you just can't react for a couple of days.
I wonder why. I just don't understand what people are seeing. Like, I have no explanation.
Because there's not one.
And how long has this been going on?
That's the thing. That's the part.
Like, how many times have people seen it and just kind of dismay? You know, like, goats will kind of stand up on their back feet when they're going to ram each other.
Yeah.
And you've seen deer stay up and, like, paw at each other.
You watch doe fight all the time.
So how many times have people seen a not deer and just thought, well, that deer, it's just standing up to, it's trying to get something out of a tree, or it's trying to, you know, intimidate another deer, but what they actually were seeing was a not deer.
Well, I know exactly what you're talking about. If you're not familiar with deer, you know, if you're not super familiar with certain animals, you don't know, like, what would I know about big cats? There are people out there that own big cats, could tell you all kinds of stuff, and I would just be like, that's a big cat. That's
like Joe Exotic.
Yeah, that's all I know, right? I wouldn't know how it was acting. I'm trying to relate it to house cats. The same as deer. If you've not spent a lot of time viewing and watching and being involved in it, then you may not know it looks as strange as it does, because, you know, you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And, you know, we all have things that we know more than everybody, you know, things that you wouldn't know. This is a few things that you would notice. Nothing's going to turn into a not deer, right? Like, why would an alien choose to take that form? Like, it feels something even more evil than that.
I know.
Because it's not like, nobody reports seeing not deer around a feeder. You know why? Because not deer will be not a deer anymore.
But there's lots of not deer around my feeder. I mean, like, there's lots of times I go out there and I see nothing. So
yeah,
you're wrong about that. Yeah. I see not deer almost every time I go hunting.
I see a lot of out of reach deer. I see them way over there.
I see sign of deer. That's about it.
That's right.
Check this out. It says, hey guys, I've been listening to Expanded Perspectives for years, and I enjoy it very much, especially since you guys keep open minds and don't believe every story or every tall tale that comes across the internet. I moved to Texas in 2011 to help my adopted dad. He's deaf and coming up on 90. And a retired master mechanic who used to work on the pipeline. I live in a small cottage next to his house, separated by a fence. My adopted sister spends most of the day with him, and since I'm a nocturnal soul, I spent most of the afternoon and night over there. I'm a retired librarian who reads voraciously, so I spend hours online. Research is something I have a gift for, and the net just makes it easier now. I've always been interested in the supernatural and the paranormal. I have had a few interesting things happen to me when I was a teen, then a long stretch of mundane life, but since I moved to Texas, a few paranormal things have happened. I blame Texas. Just joking. I've decided to share the one that has baffled me the most. I consider myself a very pragmatic person. If you're picturing a no-nonsense librarian complete with cardigan, pearls, and those black librarian shoes with sensible heels, that would come close to me, except I have t-shirts, leggings, and flip-flops. I don't indulge in drugs or alcohol, and I'm agnostic. In other words, I don't believe everything I'm told or read about, and even if I see it happen, I want to be certain of what I saw. I have never hallucinated or fainted in my life, so no head injuries either. We live about 40 miles north of Houston. It used to be the mainly country, but the city creeps closer every single day. It's a quiet neighborhood, and our nearest neighbors are all retired just like my dad. Then, a very nice Hispanic family moved in across the road from our house, and a couple of mobile homes they set up there. My little house is located on a corner of the property, with the main road out to the freeway located on one side, and a road into our neighborhood in front of my house, ending about a mile away in a cul-de-sac. These trailers are about 70 yards away from my front porch. I have clear sight lines as we keep our fence line clean. One late afternoon a couple of years ago, I think in August or September, and you have no idea how irritated I am that I did not write down the time or date I have for all the other incidents. I was walking back to my small house from my dad's place to feed my cats. I usually do the evening feed at dusk, so around 5 or 6 o'clock. It was a very pleasant evening. There was no wind. The sun was just sinking behind the tops of the trees, so it was not dark yet. It was a normal evening. I went through my gate and paused to deadhead a couple of faded blooms from my roses. I have a couple of small rose beds in front of my house. So at this point, I was standing half hidden from the road, behind a couple of those tall rose bushes, facing the road in front of my property and the house trailer across the street. The road is about 30 yards from where I was standing. I remember it being very quiet. The birds had settled, and the insects had started in with their nightly chorus. Because the sun had just begun to set, it was still light. I wasn't thinking of anything in particular, just standing there plucking faded roses off of the bush. Suddenly, I saw movement out of the corner of my eye. So I turned my head to full-on see what it was. I remember hoping it wasn't one of my cats in the road. We don't get much traffic, but I worry about them because people are always dumping strays here. At first, it looked like a black plastic garbage bag blowing briskly in a straight line down the road. Have you ever seen a black plastic bag that is blown off of a burn pile, like for autumn leaves? That's what it looked like. It looked thin and kind of oily as it tumbled end over end down the street, just as an innocent black plastic bag blowing along would. Then I realized there was absolutely no wind or breeze, so I just stared closer, puzzled. If there was no wind, how was it moving so fast? Then the most amazing thing happened. As I watched, the bag morphed, and that's the only word that can properly describe what I saw, and elongated into the form of a lanky, sleek black cat trotting down the side of the road. I don't own a black cat. Then as I watched the cat, it changed in a blink, into the form of a small, naked black male figure about a foot tall at the most. By this time, it had reached the edge of my neighbor's yard. And also by this time, I am sure I looked like an idiot standing there with my jaw dropped in amazement behind the bushes. As I stared, this little man abruptly glanced across the road and saw me looking back. The second he realized that I could see him, he looked startled and turned and jumped the ditch into my neighbor's yard and just dove into the ground and I guess disappeared. When I say dove into the ground, that's exactly what it looked like happened. There was no hole there. The dry, flat yard had just been mowed. He or it just dove headfirst like a diver into the earth and was gone. I just stood there wondering if I was having a hallucination or if I'd finally gone nuts. I remember walking into my house and locking the door behind me. I think I was kind of in shock because, as I mentioned, I forgot to write down the date and time, and that is totally unlikely because I usually keep a daily journal. My brain was in full what the TF mode, trying to figure out what the heck I just saw. I thought about it for days and finally told my best friend and my sister, and now you guys, about this. It was a small, coal black male with a full head of glossy, curly hair. It was stark naked, and it was obviously male. It was at most a foot tall. The impression I got was of a little guy returning home from some errand or visit. He looked carefree. But what was he? Was he a Dwendy? An earth spirit? A Nahal? An imp? Or a goblin of some sort? Does he use the plastic bag and cat forms as daily camouflage? I have no clue. I have not seen him since, nor has he trespassed onto my property. Perhaps because of my cats. Is he attached to the neighbors as a household spirit? Had he moved here with them? I still research and see if I can find out more. I'm still puzzled over this. I went and looked closely the next day at the place I saw him vanish, and it looked perfectly normal. I did not say anything to my neighbors because they have kids and I don't want to frighten them or to come across as a neighbor who's totally loony. Only two small incidents like that have happened to me and makes me wonder if the little creature was involved. Last summer, my neighbor's water pipes suddenly sprouted holes and he had geysers of water erupting out of his yard in various hot spots. He had to call the county water works to fix them. Also, one evening I heard a clatter on my front porch and came out with a broom ready to evict the local porch possum or raccoon and found that all of my cat's food bowls were neatly stacked in a pyramid shape in front of my sidewalk. Was it the little man playing a prank? Who knows? I still think about this. I consider myself a rational and sane human being, and I admit I've always been curious about paranormal events, but I never thought I would witness one. Your friend, R.L. So this took place just north of Houston in 2011. She thought it was a black plastic bag like you get down here at the local corner store blowing down. It morphed into a black cat and then morphed again into a man. 1 foot tall.
If you're a fae, I never even thought about like trash.
That's what she wants to know. It's like,
yeah, that would be the
camouflaging.
Perfect, that would be the perfect camouflage. Would it not be?
Right.
Like as a cat, like you think about all the town cats we see around here. Not to mention just like, you know, like trash, like people just like a sack blowing down. You don't think anything of it. You see a trash or like a bag blow across the road and up underneath some brush. You don't run over there and get it. You just like, whoop, there it went.
Yeah. Very cool story. Thank you so much for sharing that,
RL. That story is awesome.
I don't have any answers. I don't know if it's Dwendy, a spirit, like you said, a goblin. You know, these things have many names.
That is awesome, though. It is a great story. If you like other creepy, unnerving stories, stick around, folks. You're in the right spot. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to be telling stories of some unnerving little camping experiences and a few of the forest rangers and talked about the weird stuff that's happened to them. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. This is something that I don't even know how to eat. So I talked to a buddy of mine and he was like, hey, we were talking about hunting and this is how it got going. He lives out of state. And he said, hey, man, he said, you ever had anything crazy happen to you? I know you've been talking about the show and all this stuff. And I'm like, no, you know, nothing crazy's happened. He said, man, last year during deer season, he said he was camping, him and one of his buddies, and he said they saw orbs in the trees. Now, this isn't in Texas. This is out of the state. But And so he went on to explain when I asked him about orbs, is he said they were balls of light the size of baseballs. He said there was about six or eight of them, and they were moving through the trees with intelligence. He said if you could imagine giant lightning bugs is kind of what it made him think of. But he said that was all that he saw. Him and his buddy, they saw it. It lasted about 15 seconds, moved, and it wasn't beside them. They could just see it in the trees. He said maybe 50, 60 yards from them. And it moved through there kind of like the way, like he called it, like a flock of birds, right? Like you would see a group of birds. That's kind of the way they were moving. He said they didn't seem to be on a mission. And what he said by this is he said they moved independently, but they were all going the same direction, right? So it's like a whole, like an interstate of orbs. But it got me to thinking when he said that, because I was like, dude, I've never heard it. He goes, well, I've never seen anything before or since like it. So it's an interesting story. And I was like, man, that's crazy as hell. So I started looking around trying to find, again, more crazy stories that had to do with camping or park rangers or forest rangers or anything like that. But what the things I started looking for maybe wasn't necessarily encounters with creatures. It was more of really unnerving, creepy, crazy things that have happened. I'm going to start it off with this account. I was backpacking in the Beartooth Wilderness in early 2000 with a good friend of mine. 3 days into the hike, we had only seen one other couple. On the third night at about 4 a.m., we were awoken in our tent to what sounded like screams in the forest. Big, guttural screams. Now, obviously, we were freaked out, sitting in the tent, not knowing what was out there. We started hearing what sounded like hail for about 15 minutes, followed by heavy footsteps near our camp. Well, my friend and I started yelling and making a ton of noise, and the commotion outside the tent slowly came to a halt. Now, in the morning, after not sleeping at all, we unzipped the tent to the creepiest scene. All around the tent were literally thousands of little pebbles that were not there the evening before. And surrounding the tent in a near perfect circle were 20 or so 150 to 300 pound boulders. Well, my friend and I got out of there as fast as we could, making a 3-day hike into 1 day, practically running the entire way to the car. Now, those are the kind of encounters that always get you to thinking, right? Like I said, we're not talking about coming across a lizard man or bumping into Bigfoot or seeing a UFO. We're talking about something that, how would you explain it? So, you know, when you set up your camp, you know, the whole game plan is not to do it in the dark, right? We've all done it. If you spend any time in the outdoors, you've all messed around and jerked around until it was dark. And then you try setting up camp. And then you get up the next morning, you realize that it wasn't the best spot that you picked. You know, you could have found a better spot, but you didn't know it was dark. This isn't one of those stories. You don't mistaken a near perfect circle of boulders, 150 pounds plus, and then a whole covering of pea gravel in that area you didn't see. Imagine that. Like, it sounded like hail. How did the pea gravel get there? Well, there's only one way. Was thrown there. It doesn't just fall from the sky, right? It doesn't rain pea gravel. It's very, very interesting. And it makes me think back to all of those, like, you know, you see when people stack the rocks in the river and all that stuff, and then you'll find them way away from stuff. Like they've talked about with like tree stacking or limb stacking, if you will, and the way they do these things. So it makes me wonder, do they see this? Did we see what they were doing? Did they see what we were doing? Whatever's going on. You can tell when things like this are man-made, right? Naturally, boulders that size or any size don't occur in a perfect circle, right? It just doesn't happen. So, yeah, I don't blame them. The idea of turning it into a one-day run and a three-day hike sounds pretty brutal, right? But, yeah, you would want to get the hell out of there. That is something definitely you don't want to see. Here's something else you don't want to see. A few summers ago, I was canoeing in the Boundary Waters with some friends. A few days into our trip, at least 2 days of paddling from the nearest entry point, we found the creepiest campsite on an island. There was a brand new abandoned camping equipment everywhere, like a sleeping bag and a camping pad. Throughout the campsite, sticks with the ends charred had been stuck in the ground. In the remains of the fire was a heavily charred toothbrush, along with the remains of a wallet, glasses, papers, and some clothes. The creepiest part was near the edge, where a single petrified moose antler, it says here moose altar, but I'm pretty sure they meant to say antler, had been wedged between some boulders and surrounded by charred sticks in a circle. Turns out it is an altar. We got the hell out of there as fast and as far as we could before nightfall. It's one of the creepiest things I have ever seen. It looked like it was straight from a horror movie, Liv. So, I don't understand. They say a petrified moose altar wedged between some boulders and surrounded by charred sticks. Or is it an antler? They've written altar, but could it be an antler? Are they making it? Who the heck knows? Either way, I remember one time as a kid, and I was probably 12 years old at the time. We were all, a bunch of us, I think Kyle was there. There's a bunch of us. We were all messing around down by the river. And I remember coming across a campsite, a good way somewhere you would think they would be a campsite. But mind you, this is 12-year-old me thinking, so like it's probably not accurate. But I know I thought it was creepy. But I remember now seeing a table, and I mean like a little kid's table. And when I say little kids, like a doll table. Like the table wasn't more than maybe 16 inches by 16 inches square, right? Had little legs, had a little table or little chairs. And I remember it had dolls sitting at it. And the dolls were like beat up. One of them was like missing an eye, hair cut off. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like they pulled the dolls out of the dump, right? And that's what was sitting there. And I'll never forget. And it's funny that I forgot it now until I started thinking about it. I remember how comical it was because everybody got freaked out. And then you were just like, all somebody did was just prop some dolls up, right? That could have easily been this, or it could have easily been some sort of thing. It is weird to me, though, that they said there was the remains of wallet and glasses and papers. It almost sounds like someone was, two things, disposing of a body or trying to dispose of their past, right? They're going to move on and do something else. Here's another one, though, that's very interesting that has to do, again, with rock throwing. I got a good buddy that does some work on another podcast, and he's actually been to some spots, and I've talked about him, and Waldo's can tell you some really interesting stories, so it's one of those things I need to get him to talk about more with me. Get a load of this, though. This one says, I once went camping up in the Allegheny National Forest. Me and some buddies were all sitting around a fire BSing as it got a bit later. Well, as time ticked on, we kept hearing things landing on the ground all around us. There were rocks being thrown at our tents and towards the fire. Now, I have, of course, you know, you freak yourself out when the acorns start falling. You think something's walking, or you hear pecans falling, or even been sitting in the dare stand and bodark trees, Osage orange, right? The big bodark apples fall out of the trees and hit the ground. You'll hear them thumping. And if you're not sure what it was, it is an odd sound. They go on to write that nothing too absurd. It could have been some hooligans at a nearby campsite. But looking around the area, we didn't see anything. So eventually it stopped and we went to our tents. And a few hours later, we heard this ear-piercing noise that sounded like a woman screaming while running through our campsite. But it was much raspier. It was a pretty unsettling experience. And needless to say, we got out of there. But before we did, nothing came of it. Nothing happened. They heard the rocks. They heard the screams. Boom. Alex talks about that. That's it. But here's an interesting one. It's called the Stick Men. Get a load of this. It says 6 hours walk through thick brush to the nearest passable road. 14, maybe 15. Hiking and camping with a couple fellow Boy Scouts and an adult. We made our camp for the night. Had a cold dinner because it was too wet to scavenge firewood. And then we all turned in early. Those are horrible evenings, aren't they? Even in the woods, there's noises. Frogs, owls, small game, and every sort of insect. Well, my tent mate and I woke around the same time, close to 3 a.m., to hear nothing outside. Absolute, ear-straining silence, like a woolen blanket wrapped around your head. After a few minutes, the bugs started chirping again, and we went back to sleep. When we awoke in the morning, we found that 5 of the pine trees surrounding our little clearing had been connected in a star shape with scraped lines and pinned to each one was a stick man, just like the ones from the Blair Witch. The leader and his son, who were occupants of the other tent, accused us of messing around and messing with them. But we both knew it wasn't us. That's a story nobody believes. I mean, who would believe the alibis of two kids? Now, I'll never camp again without the safety of a large group and nearby civilization. That is a heck of a story, right? Imagine that. So how, like I said, you mess around in people's campsites, right? You first of all, imagine the nerve you have to walk into anybody's campsite. You don't know who's armed, especially down here, but I mean, anywhere. You don't know who's armed, who goes camping armed. Everybody I know does, right? Packs a gun sometime when they, at least at camp. You may not take it when you go out, but you've at least got it at camp or on you, whatnot. Sneaking around a campsite with a bunch of kids seems like the best way to get shot, doesn't it? Like you want to get shot in the face and left for dead in the woods, go bust into somebody's camp that's got kids and watch what happens. So, and even him talking about it. Also, what's up with the stick men? Who the heck pins those to trees? Like goes around. So you got to sit down and construct your stick men. Then you go in there. It seems like an awful lot of work to go into if it were simply a hoax or simply there to mess with people. Because you've got to make these stick men. You got to hope that they find the stick men. You got to hope that they wake up at 3 a.m. to hear silence. Like there's a whole lot of stuff that goes into if you were only doing it to mess with them. And speaking of only messing with them, listen to this madness. It says, when I was doing trail clearing, there was a lot of strange stuff that happened. And one night I was camped by a lake miles from even the nearest road, and a boulder just flew into the lake from the other side. Yeah, splash down. Then another, then another. I didn't sleep at all that night, but laid awake cuddling with my hatchet and my K-bar knife. For those of you that don't know what a K-bar knife is, it was Marine issue when you see like the old school, and they may still do it. I think they still issue the USMC K-bar. You look them up. They're neat old knives. They've been around for a long time, you know, and all this. Goes on to write that dead moose, just a straight up dead moose with no outward signs of disease, no trauma, was lying in the middle of the trail. It wasn't old or big. And I had to call that one in. And then goes on to say that a few times I would bring my sister's husky with me. And I had a night where he wouldn't stop whimpering or pawing at the tent door until we went inside. No tracks around the next day. Nothing. Everything was bright. Everything was beautiful. He said, it looked like if there were any tracks, they were just passing by. The husky wasn't having it. Freaked the dog out. So now it makes you wonder. You got throwing boulders. You got a dead moose. You got a scared dog. That's missing 411/Bigfoot if there ever was one, right? I mean, those fall into the trails or into the same categories as the same thing. I don't even know how many stories and how many people we've talked to that discuss throwing rocks, flying rocks. But then the idea of boulders flying, and now we've talking about we have boulders in circles, pea gravel, this dude's got a dead moose, all of these things that go crazy of what's going on. And as it gets crazy, here we go. Wildland firefighter with the Forestry Service here. This isn't my story. Nope, this story was told to me by an old supervisor, whom I believe 100%. The setting is in 2004, Hell's Canyon area, middle of Idaho. His crew had been working all day on an emergency incident and were going to be working through the night as well. Being the assistant superintendent of the crew, he was out ahead of the whole group scouting on an ATV. He was working his way down a logging road that clearly had not been used in some time when a bobcat, or lynx, he says, it'd been a few years, he couldn't remember which, but appeared in the middle of the road, but usually doesn't run away as they usually do. So a bobcat appeared and stood in the middle of the road. He goes on to say that this thing stands there for a good 10 seconds, screams at him, and scampers up a tree not 5 foot off the road. He finds this odd, but not particularly unsettling. Just a half a mile or so down the road, he finds a small cabin, which this is odd. as this is federal land and no private structures should be on it. Upon investigation, all the windows had been boarded shut, tied up, and someone had done a very good job of doing it. The door had been punched out and secured to it. So I guess he's talking about like the hole there. It says, and the hole drilled into the log frame and secured by a chain. Someone did not want anything getting in or out. Now, peering through the hole in the door, he can see that everything in the house is completely upset, ransacked. This has him kind of unsettled. So he hops on his ATV and heads back up the road. Well, here's where things start getting really interesting. Right where the bobcat had been, there stands a Native American woman in a badly tattered nightgown and bare feet, just standing there. He yells at her, asking if she needs help. And she just screamed at him, the same scream as the cat from before, and climbs right up the tree, faster than any human has a right to be climbing. Obviously, he takes off. He takes off out of there as fast as he can, unsure of who or what he just saw. So he starts asking around, and he asks a local guy about that cabin. After asking, a local Native American hears about it, comes up, and basically, the way this story goes, informs them that what he saw was a skinwalker, a skin changer, a warg, if what they say is going on here. Says, now, I would not believe most people that tried to tell me that, but this man, my friend, is a very, very serious man, a dead serious man. And he said, I've heard him tell this story twice. It's exactly the same, and I believe 100% him when he claims what he saw. So a skinwalker. Now, again, like he says, was that to keep somebody in the cabin or to keep them out? Which one is it? Because it sounds like you've locked somebody in at that point. But the most unsettling thing, the scream, right? Like, it's one thing to see somebody, but when they, and then just runs up the tree and he just turns the ATV around and gasses it. Like, you talk about being scared. Boy, that would be an unnerving thing, right? Like, there was a bobcat. Now there's a woman. Yeah, exactly. Here's another one. Park ranger here. Another ranger and I were out on a search and rescue call one time. The missing person was a young man in his 20s. He'd gone hiking and then, of course, had not returned on the day that he had intended to. So when we got the call, it was dark. But we hiked in a few miles, set up camp on a ridge that had a really good view. He had gone into the woods prepared, so we decided to wait until daylight before actually beginning the search. At about 2 a.m., nature calls and I have to get up. I'm using the restroom when I see a moving light at the base of the cliffs across the valley just a few miles away. Now, this light looked like a flashlight beam. So I wake up the other ranger and we make the decision to keep on waiting for daylight. So the next morning, we decided to go check out the area and bring this guy home. So we get to approximately where I saw the light the night before, and we just start calling his name. Soon, we find his body at the base of the cliff. He had fallen 60 feet on his head. The body was badly mangled. We radio back that it has now become a recovery instead of a rescue. At this point, the other ranger yells to me to come look at this. Lying 20 feet from the man's body was his mag light. It seemed odd, but I thought nothing of it until the other ranger reminded me of the light we saw the night before. Now, it kind of gives me the creeps, but I dismissed it. Now, before too long, the coroner arrives and inspects the body, and he took the body back to the lab. He said the man had been dead at least 48 hours before we found the body. And all of a sudden, the what alarm went off in my brain. I knew that it couldn't be possible. I had the coroner review his work. Same result. I tried to find an explanation for the light I had seen, perhaps other hikers. But one SNR guy, one search and rescue guy, had stayed at the only trailhead in the area all night. No one had come or gone. To this day, I have no clue what I saw that night, but it has continually freaked me out. So that's it, folks. What did he see? the dude, it wasn't, what would be the timing anyways? Like if you had seen a man at that time in the morning, literally fall off a cliff, what if that's what the light was? But then again, he says he's been dead 48 hours. So what could it have been? He's walking around, he's shining his own light. No, he's dead. Something else was over there. But what? What the heck could it be? Well, here's you one. It says nothing too crazy. Johnny writes this. It says nothing too crazy, but camping in the desert in Utah. I was a wilderness guide and lived out of my truck, so I camped nearly every night. So I was totally used to weird noises, twigs cracking, whatever. But one night it was extremely calm and quiet. Just a weird vibe in the air. A couple of friends and I were on BLM land in Utah near Moab, and we had just put out the fire and laid out our sleeping bags. Just as I was starting to fade out, something grabbed me by my wrists and jerked my arms straight up into the air. I sat up immediately, and two of my friends bolted up at the same time. We've all had it happen to us at the exact same time, and we all couldn't explain it. And that's it. Nothing else happened. But just telling the story makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. Thanks. Wow. Quick and to the point. What was that? What grabs you? You know what it feels like to be grabbed. Right now, everybody listening, reach down. Just grab your own wrist. Grab your own hand. Touch your own face. Any of this. You can feel it. Have your buddy grab your wrist. You don't mistake in that. You ever rolled over in bed and thought, "Ooh, wow, that felt like somebody grabbed my arm." No, you've never said that. You know why? Because it's never happened. You know what it feels like when someone grabs you and applies pressure. And that's what just happened to all three of them at the exact same time. In Utah, near Moab. What could that have possibly been, right? Now, here's one that somebody sent me in that came from Reddit. And this is a really... I'm just going to read this. This is something that really makes me think, but I'm going to read this to you. It says, I'm a ranger at Yellowstone. A couple of weeks ago, I was exploring the Lamar Valley, about 11 miles from the nearest road and even further to the park boundary. There, in the middle of the trail, is a perfectly severed deer head. No blood, no raggedness at the severance. Perfectly intact. Now, this is weird. This is weird because I've seen wolves and bears spoils, the leftovers after they've eaten, right? And I used to find plenty of mountain lion prey in South Dakota with radio tracking just after, you know, they and all this stuff had gone on, and said just after they'd eaten. So they would find out when the cougars, the mountain lions had fed. They'd see where they were. They go to that area. They can tell exactly what it was. There's what's left. Says this was not any of those things. The head was completely uneaten. Eyes, tongue, everything intact. Even the ravens hadn't touched it yet. No cachings, no droppings, right smack in the middle of the trail, and no blood. Even a human doing it made no conventional sense. It was a doe. It had no antlers. Plus, why even leave it in the middle of the trail? And worse than that is it was in broad daylight. Every bit of it. It just gives me chills. Just an ocean of waving grass, bison calmly grazing, and a perfectly clean deer head right in the middle of the path. Now, it's funny they bring that up, talking about it being untouched, right? Unbothered by it. Because all I think about is, and for those of you that watched the video I made for Rock Slide called In Plain Sight on the hunting trip I went with Blake and Tony, you'll be able to see in the video when we retrieve Blake's buck. The coyotes had had their way with it. Literally, they were tracking him probably once he crossed the fence. Like, it was just one of those deals. They were on him in no time. It's coyotes are bad. If you watch that video, you'll see what's left. There's literally nothing. The coyotes ate its eyes, its nose, its lips. There's nothing. I mean, it is strictly bone. 5 or 6 grown coyotes can run through it pretty good, and they don't leave leftovers, okay? They don't take it back home. So whatever this was, and I love how he said no raggedness, so it was cleanly severed. What does that? What does that? I have no idea what does that, right? It is the craziest thing to me, a severed deer head, perfectly laying. And it goes back into, and I will tell it again, it makes me think of the time that Kyle and I went and did a little looking around years ago for the Bigfoot missing pig thing. And I don't know, some of you probably know. If you don't know, I'll give you a quick breakdown of it. Kyle and I got a call from family members that something had happened and went, and this has probably been, what is it now? Ooh, 8 years ago? Probably close to 8 years, 7 to 8 years ago. Friend had killed a pig, large pig, shot it, big boar hog, right? And drug it away. And it's not uncommon. So, you know, like everybody listening knows that the United States has a real pig problem. Texas has an enormous pig problem. And yes, there are pigs that are shot and pigs that are left. Some of them you just don't want to eat. I didn't eat that big pig that I killed. I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all that. I shot that big son of a gun and I couldn't eat him. I tried. There was no way. That's the second big pig that I've tried to cook, boar hog. And it just, something about it. I don't know what it is. I've just not been able to get over it. Sows, shoats, things like that, I'm good with. Those big boars, you don't want no part of. So that's what had happened. Friend had shot this big boar with us like a 7 mag, okay? 7 millimeter magnum, large bore rifle, you know, pretty good thump to it. And so he's dead, hooks onto him with a four-wheeler, drags this pig 3/4 of a mile, across the place, back to a place to where they, most places have like where you would dump what we call the gut pile. Right. So when you clean your deer, we have tubs that we would clean it in, and then we take whatever is and we go to a certain place and we put it. And that way it keeps everything away from the camp. It everything stays a lot cleanlier, and you will have whatever wants to go over there, possums, coyotes, whatever wants to come to the old area there where the boneyard would be, that's what it would be. And so that's where they took this pig. Only to have someone else go by there the very next day that was hunting on there, goes, hey, I want to see that big hog, see if it's the one I'd been seeing. Sure. They go by there to look, call the guy that shot it, said, hey, where's the pig at? Tells him. The dude's like, the pig ain't there, man. The pig ain't there. It's gone. Says there's no way. Goes and looks. The pig ain't there. They call us. We go and look. They called Gary Christensen of the BFRO. Gary went out and actually did. That's how we, you know, we'd had Gary, and that's how we ended up making the acquaintance to have Gary on the show when we first started. Folks, I'm going to tell you this, and you can take it however you want to take it. You know, you can believe. You can believe you know more. You can believe you know less. I'm going to tell you what happened. We got there. There's no sign of predation. There's no sign of anything. Imagine if you had laid something down in the dirt and in the dust and, you know, it's short grass. And we're not talking tall grass. We're talking, you can still see the soil. There's no tracks. There's no mountain lion tracks, no bobcat, no coyote, no predation, no bird tracks, no feathers, no anything. It is like this pig magically evaporated. There is no drag marks, there is no blood, and there is nothing remaining of it. And for those that don't really understand how weird that is, when you have Thanksgiving or when you have big family dinners, you know how pretty the table looks before, and then you know what all the table looks when you get done serving? It's the same thing. There'll be something there unless you move it, unless you pick it up and move it. And I'm going to tell you right now, there is nothing indigenous or native to Texas that has that ability to move a 250-pound pig. Now, there are tigers in Texas, most of them in private collections. I'm sure there's some loose. That'd be the only thing. There's no pug marks. There's no tracks of the tiger. There's no anything. This pig straight up vanished. And we've talked to numerous people about it, and researchers in the know will tell you this happens often, that when there are areas that get hunted, these animals know, whatever you take these animals for, however you want to do it, these animals know, and they will hang out there for free meals, right? The same way as in Alaska. There's lots of places real bad. You shoot caribou, you shoot moose, and the bear get on them, you've lost it. Like, they know what it sounds like when they hear a rifle report, the bear show up. I don't know that it's that way with the Sasquatch, but whatever happened, that pig vanished, folks, 100%. And believe me when I say I've harvested a lot of pigs. Like, I've taken several. and I've never seen anything like it before, and I've never seen anything like it since. It's never happened to me, and it's only happened on that place, and it's happened on the place it did twice now, and we still have no more answers than we did before. So I'll share that with you, and I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you're going to get out while the weather's still cool, at least here. Do a little camping, get outside, experience the outdoors. Everybody going through the tough times right now, we love y'all. We hope everything's good. All of y'all in Australia, all of y'all across the world. You know what I'm talking about, folks. Let's all help each other out. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm going to wrap this baby up, and then we're going to pry open the head of Big Fizzy, and we're going to see what he thinks about all this madness, y'all. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. There you go. There's you some unsettling stuff. Philly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you like that one?
Yeah. I love those stories. And I especially like the one with the, excuse me, that they thought it was hailing outside.
I knew you would.
And then all the pea gravel and stuff and the large boulders and stones erected in a circle like that is, it's a very cool story because it didn't happen to me.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Well, right? and like you got to think about too, when it comes to the, if this person's telling the truth, and I have no reason to doubt, when you start thinking about hoaxes, right? Mm-hmm. That's the first thing that always goes through your mind. Who's messing with me when I'm out here? Who's messing with me? There's certain things where you can mess with people, and then there's that.
Yeah.
You're not going to be able to do that.
No, the amount of work it would take. Like, who's going to sit around and spend hours while they're sleeping?
Yeah.
Trying to erect this circle.
Just for you to be able to look through the brush when they wake up and freak out and run off and be like, man, that was worth so much work.
That was an awesome troll.
It was 12 hours worth of back-breaking labor moving rocks, and it was so worth it with the 4 seconds of fear I saw on their face.
Yeah, right? Yeah. It makes no sense.
No. Just like the pig story. The pig story makes no sense, folks. So there you go. That's where me and Kyle were at. That's some of the stuff that we had done and dealt with at the end of that. So yeah, there you go. So Philly, what do you got going on? You got anything crazy? Have y'all got anything planned for the spring break with the boys?
No, actually I think it's going to be pretty boring around the Filson household. No, we don't have any trips planned. So we already went skiing and snowboarding. We tend to go not during spring break because it's very crowded. And then we got a trip coming up in, let's see, when are we going? June? Which I know that's kind of far away, but it'll be here before you know it, where we're going to Alabama and we're going to New Orleans on the way to Alabama. So I want to talk to you about that World War II museum.
Oh, yeah. I'll lay it on you.
I want to go check some of that stuff out. Luke, of course, wants to go to the voodoo shops because there's a kid at school that's been messing with him. He wants to see if he can buy a voodoo curse and place that curse on him. Well, I can remember when I was a little kid. I remember I have a little brother who's 5 years and one day younger than me. I remember we went to New Orleans with the family. Of course, we were just children. And I remember my brother went to one of those voodoo shops and he bought one of those curses. And of course, I remember weeks later, he came home from school and was mad because the voodoo curse didn't work. Like, I guess he placed it on some bully.
And it didn't take care of it.
You know, I remember it came in, like, of course, it's like a souvenir thing, right? He thought it was real. It looked like it came in a package. Like, you remember the little packages? Well, they probably still do, where you go buy seeds for, like, vegetables or something. It comes in a little packet. It was like that. So it had something in
like
there.
Like some kind of powder.
Some kind of stuff, right.
It was talcum powder.
It was something. And then it had a list of instructions, like, you need to prepare this when the moon is the fullest. You need to make sure, you know, that Venus is in the seventh house. You need to find cat whiskers, you know, two tufts of wolf's mane. Like, they had a whole thing. And if you prepare this, then the spell would work. I think now, looking back at it, I don't remember then, but looking back now, I think it was like a funny souvenir. But now he thought this was legit. Like, we're in a voodoo shop. You blow the cigar and you spit the rum, you know, and then we got like, I think he attempted to kill one of the chickens we had. Anyways, I remember him being mad because, like, the curse didn't work. So now
it's paid forward.
Of course, I've been planting it in Luke's mind. I've been telling him about the voodoo shops there. And, you could buy a petrified bat. Would you like a shrunken head? He's like, oh, no, I wouldn't want that.
But I would like a curse. Can I get a hold of a curse down there?
So we'll be doing that. That's about all we have planned for the next up and coming weeks and months, I think.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, we're not doing baseball.
Nope.
So that definitely opens things up for me.
So we have some surprises coming, like I keep alluding to, and hopefully by the end of this month, we'll be able to really dump it on you.
Speaking of surprises, we got some pretty cool surprises.
Yeah, well, that'll be the next show.
Okay.
We're going to do a whole thing. Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Right. If you have any cool stories like RL sent in with the Duende or whatever like that, please, that's exactly what we're looking for. Send those shows, send those stories into the show.
For sure.
ExpandedPerspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the number 888-393-2783. That's 888-393-BRUD.
There you go. So on the Elite Show, I was talking about, I tell a pretty crazy story about some tunnel rats from Vietnam.
Yeah.
Some of the crazy stuff today have happened. And I get into a story like from Vietnam dealing with a reptilian that we talked about. And then I discussed a little bit of the Giant of Kandahar. And I noticed that even after recording all this, I want to share this with y'all because Lon at Phantoms and Monsters just shared this. And it is an update on the Kandahar Giant that
really?
He had received. Yes.
I love that story.
So he had written that a U.S. Army patrol encounters and kills a red-haired giant that they allege is 12 foot plus tall, okay, over 12 foot, in the Kandahar province. And there was also a part where they said special forces even hunted down a rogue Bigfoot, I guess, in this area. So this is, I don't know if it's both one and the same, but I want you to listen to this update. It says, my brother John, who retired as a U.S. Army lieutenant colonel, told me that when he retired and was working for the VA, a retired service member at the VA confirmed the 15-foot-tall red-haired giant. The Army tried to conceal this incident, but could not, as over 100 people had seen the giant both before it was killed and later brought back to the Bagram Air Base. The creature's skin was so thick that the bullets seemed to have not been able to penetrate it. They shot at its head and face, and that is how they killed it. The first Army troops that encountered it were all killed by the creature, with their gear left untouched on the ground. The bones were of some of the soldiers in the first detachment, as some had been devoured. After they killed the giant, the Army sent in a helicopter to pick it up and fly it back to base. The pallet used to place the giant on was only about 12 feet long, so they had to put the body on the pallet in a fetal position in order for it to fit. Says they were also concerned about the weight and if it was too heavy to lift and fly away with, and many people and soldiers also there saw the airfield where they flew it to. The Army also found a number of grave sites which had one other giant buried in there from perhaps long ago. One of the skeletons were supposedly sent to the Smithsonian Museum in D.C. where allegedly it's stored. Says here, and then it goes into about the UFO, or I'm sorry, the Bigfoot encounter at Kentucky. But that Kandahar update, apparently other people may have seen
that. That's awesome.
You know, and you never know, right? And we're never going to know. That's the problem. I don't know if you could FOIA that. You know, if it's never been a real thing, you know, put forth and all this, how are you ever going to find out?
Right.
So there's probably nothing written down about it. And it's much like the giant shark that we've had, where right. we talk about it had seen. It's the same number of people have seen the giant that saw the shark. So you kind of have to take it for what it is. I think it's real. I think that giant thing is a real thing.
Well, and we know that there were giants all over North America. Mm-hmm. We know that there was giants talked about in the Bible. And like even with the red-haired giants of Lovelock Caves, they're mm-hmm. always described by the Native Americans as they were cannibals.
Yeah.
They were cannibalistic. So they liked to feed on people, and then them describing soldiers' bones mm-hmm. in there makes it for...
It's an awesome story. I love it.
A really, yeah. really cool story. Cam, what do you got planned for the rest of your week?
I will just be...
Taking care of your wife?
I'll be taking care of my wife, and I've got some other editing and stuff that I'm doing, and that's pretty much it, unless you and I decide to sneak away and play some disc golf, because the weather's going to be awesome.
up and down, up and down. It's nice and beautiful, and then it's cold and snowing.
Yeah,
up for real. So over and over and over. Before we get out of here, let's thank you to our sponsors. Don't forget to check out Jim Harold's Campfire on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to this show.
The Podfather.
That's right, the Podfather, the OG. And also, microdosegummies.com. Go over there. And
I got them right here.
Got them right there. Yeah, they're awesome.
I love these things.
I like them too. Like, you know, you're not taking them. Look, they're available nationwide. It doesn't matter what state you live in, so you don't have to it doesn't have to be legal in your state like that. You're not getting high off it, folks. It's a microdose. It's such a small amount that's almost unnoticeable, but they make you feel good. Go over to microdosegummies.com and use the promo code EXPANDED and get free shipping and 30% off your first order. That's about all the time we have for this episode. Till next time, folks, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.